From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message called The Holy Logic of Free Grace, the eighth in a series of messages dealing with Romans chapter 8. The text is verses 12 and 13, in which the Apostle Paul shows the result of a person's having been justified by faith in Christ. Because a believer in Christ has been delivered from the damnation of sin, he feels an obligation to live as sinless a life as possible. In this sense, the believer is a debtor to God's grace and mercy. As Dr. Cairns has emphasized, justification leads to holiness. Having been justified, the believer is not to be ruled by the flesh. Only the Holy Spirit has the right to rule the Christian's life. Part of this governing action is leading the believer to mortify, that is, to put to death the evil deeds of the body. Herein lies the means of our sanctification. Ultimately, mortification of the flesh leads to heaven, for the text declares, If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live eternally. Dr. Cairns will conclude this message in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text comes from 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The word hitherto seems like a hand pointing in the direction of the past, 20 years or 70, and yet hitherto the Lord hath helped. Through poverty, through wealth, through sickness, through health, at home, abroad, on the land, on the sea, in honor, in dishonor, in perplexity, in joy, in trial, in triumph, in prayer, in temptation, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. We delight to look down a long avenue of trees. It is delightful to gaze from end to end of the long vista, a sort of verdant temple with its branching pillars and its arches of leaves. Even so, look down the long aisles of your years, at the green boughs of mercy overhead, the strong pillars of loving kindness and faithfulness which bear up your joys. Are there no birds in yonder branches singing? Surely there must be many, and they all sing of mercy received hitherto. But the word also points forward, for when a man gets up to a certain mark and writes hitherto, he is not yet at the end. There is still a distance to be traversed. More trials, more joys, more temptations, more triumphs, more prayers, more answers, more toils, more strength, more fights, more victories, and then come sickness, old age, disease, death. Is it over now? No, there is more yet. Awakening in Jesus' likeness, thrones, harps, songs, psalms, white raiment, the face of Jesus, the society of saints, the glory of God, the fullness of eternity, the infinity of bliss. Oh, be of good courage, believer, and with grateful confidence raise thine Ebenezer, for he who hath helped thee hitherto will help thee all thy journey through. When read in heaven's light, how glorious and marvelous a prospect will thy hitherto unfold to thy grateful eye.
Love divine, so great and wondrous, deep and mighty, pure sublime, coming from the heart of Jesus, just the same through time.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
Third thing he talks about is the means of sanctification then. For he not only tells us what to do, but how to do it. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. Now you'll see immediately it's through the Spirit. And this is natural. If you're in the Spirit, then you act through the Spirit. Get back to Romans 7 for a minute. This is not by Phariseeism. It's not by legalism. It's not by a bunch of rules and regulations. You will fulfill the law of God, as we saw earlier in Romans chapter 8. But you do it by the faith of the gospel and by the fellowship of the Spirit, the working of the Holy Spirit. And what does the Spirit lead you to do? Mortify the deeds of the body. The tenses of the verbs of the New Testament are very, very important. And when Paul here deliberately uses a present continuous in this command, he's talking about not an instantaneous decision that leads to a battle finished where there's no more struggle. He's talking about a constant warfare in the holiest of men against the constant operation of the flesh and the world and the devil. We have got to be constantly on guard, constantly applying the gospel, constantly cutting off the life supply to the flesh. John Owen said, the mortification of indwelling sin remaining in our mortal bodies, that it might have life and power to bring forth the works or deeds of the flesh, is the constant duty of believers. In Colossians 3, Paul takes this up. And he starts off by telling you one way a Christian's supposed to live. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth in the right hand of God. I'm not preaching in Colossians 3 tonight, but I will stop there and say this. This is the problem in so many Christians' lives. Christians say, I want to stop this. I want to stop that. I want to stop the other thing. I want to get the victory over this. I want to get the victory over that. That's all very good. But there's something else here. Paul is saying you're risen with Christ. You're justified. You're united to Christ. So what do? If you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. I have quoted at various times the high-sounding but very, very insightful title to a sermon that Thomas Chalmers, the great Scottish theologian and preacher, once preached. He preached a sermon. I could see you all jumping up for joy if I announced this is my sermon title for next Sunday. On the expulsive power of a new affection. Stop and think of it, though. The expulsive power of a new affection. Set your affections where they ought to be. And you'll find if your affections are taken up with the Christ who loved you and gave himself for you, the affection that Christ fills your heart with will expel the very things that you're so much in need of overcoming. See, it's impossible to walk with God. It's impossible to have the heart filled with the affection of things above and serve the things on earth. That's where it starts. Then he says, for you are dead. That's your justification. You died and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also be with him and appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. What does he mean? Deal with your body that you do not commit these sins. In many ways, it seems a tragedy that Paul has to talk about such sins in a Christian church. But in some ways, I'm very glad that the Christian church was launched into a heathen society where they had to face wickedness in its rawest form. If that were not the case, if we were left with a Bible that didn't deal with these things, how on earth would we ever deal with the society we have to live in today? He says, mortify your members, mortify your body on the earth, that it does not commit what? Fornication. How often he comes back to the moral. Fornication. The Greek word is porneia. It's not just adultery. May include that. But it also includes bestiality. Sodomite perversion. I personally believe that it includes what men just slough off as pornography. Vile, filthy perversion, moral corruption of a vicious nature. Mortify your body, members of it, the eyes, the ears, the tongue. Mortify your body, that it never falls into that uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, evil lusts. Then he adds this, and covetousness. Covetousness. The last of the commandments is the commandment that says you're not to covet. And if you were to start at the 10th commandment, you could work your way back, and it's the breach of that that leads to the breach of every other one. Because covetousness is idolatry. Put these things to death. Put them to death. As Paul put it in Romans 13, verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. I want to be honest with you. I'm going to be brutally frank with you. And this is true. I look back at my own life and I find this is true of me. It's true of you. We come piously saying, Lord, I want victory here. I want victory there. But all the time you're making provision for the very thing that you say you want victory over. I often tell people, they say, I want to stop smoking. Well, get rid of the packet of cigarettes in your pocket. That's where you start. You're never going to get victory over cigarettes while you have 40 of them in your pocket. I always remember what my dad says the night that he got saved. He was a chain smoker. He smoked 60 cigarettes a day. He had no background in the gospel. He had nobody to instruct him. When he came to Christ that night, there was a real work of grace done in his heart. And the very first thing he did was to take the remainder of the 60 cigarettes and what were there for the next day and put them in the fire. That he didn't give them to anybody else because they shouldn't be smoking either. Was there a struggle? Yes, there was a struggle. But you're not going to get victory with them sitting in your pocket. The alcoholic's never going to get over his booze while he keeps a bottle of whiskey in the house. And you're never going to be morally pure while you keep access to filth, whether it's in your computer or your television screen or the books you read or the magazines you read or anything else. And you're not going to do any of it unless you set Christ before you. Make provision spiritually, but you're not making provision for the flesh. I have gone way over time. And I'll finish with the connection that there is between holiness and heaven. If you mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. The implication is if you don't, you'll be damned. And that has caused some to deny that Paul is really saying that there's cause and effect here. Now, it is true that you're not saved because of your holy life. You're not saved because of how you've mortified the deeds of the body. You're saved because of the merits of Christ applied to you by the Holy Spirit of God. But still, there is a cause and effect here. Lloyd-Jones didn't like that idea of cause and effect, so he said, this is really a statement of means and end. Actually, that doesn't carry you anywhere because the means are the cause of the end. I mean, if you throw a stone and it breaks a window, let me now take you through different types of causes. The moving cause may be your hatred of the person who lives in the house. The efficient cause is the force with which you throw the missile. You can't blame a stone for breaking a window. Stones do not have will. But it is nonetheless the instrumental cause. This is what Paul is talking about here. It's through the Spirit that you mortify the deeds of the body. That's the efficient cause. The power of the Holy Spirit. But how does the Holy Spirit work in bringing men to heaven? To use the words of Isaiah 35, he brings them along the highway of holiness. The highway of holiness. That's the way to heavens, the highway of holiness. Now, that's the word of the Holy Ghost. That's not my description. How does Jesus Christ, our Savior, put it? In Matthew chapter 7, he talks about a straight gate and a narrow way. That's the highway of holiness. And that's the way that the Savior leads, so that there is a connection of cause and effect, of instrumental cause. How does the Holy Spirit lead His people to heaven? He leads them the way of holiness. So if you never have walked on the highway of holiness, the Holy Spirit hasn't done a work. You may trip in that way. You may fall flat on your face in that way. But you'll say, like Micah the prophet, chapter 7 of his prophecy, when I fall, I shall arise. 6, is it actually, of his prophecy? Do not rejoice against me, O mine enemy. Satan, you think I've fallen and I'm finished? I'm on the highway of holiness. I will arise. That's the mark of a Christian. I will arise. I lament my fall, but I rejoice in the work of the Spirit who leads me in this highway to glory. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That's the connection between holiness and heaven. It's the connection between holiness and happiness. You live. You see this? If you mortify the deeds of the body, the devil tells you, you live such a miserable life. If you say no to the flesh and this and this and this and this area, you live a miserable life. Nonsense. The Holy Ghost says, you will live. And the great John Owen said that that was more than eternal life in the sense of going to heaven. And this is the principle he laid down, and I liked how he put it. The vigor and power and comfort of our spiritual life depends on the mortification of the deeds of the flesh. The vigor and power and comfort of our spiritual life depends on the mortification of the deeds of the flesh. Here's Paul's logic. You're Christians. Quite simply, live as Christian. That's it. You believe the gospel? Live according to the gospel. You trust in Christ? Well, live by the faith of Christ. You're regenerated by the Spirit. You're indwelt by the Spirit. Then through the Spirit, make no provision for the flesh. The holy logic. Free grace. I trust the Lord will take this word on the supremely important subject of genuine sanctification and apply it to our hearts to make us genuinely holy. And if tonight finds you out of Christ, still in the flesh, governed by the flesh, I trust God will make you recognize it and convict you that you'll get to the place where you'll say, I must have Christ. I must have Christ. Is my justification and my sanctification and my total redemption.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info at faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.